Hello, my fellow country bumpkins. How are you doing? I'm Anna, and this is Inaka Diaries, Notes from the Countryside, the Japan edition. And I hope you like noodles, because that's what we are going to talk about today. And not just about any old noodles, oh no. These noodles, today, they come from Okinawa. And once upon a time, created a situation so controversial that the Japanese government had to get involved. Are you ready? Let's do it. This is episode 1. Let's call it Okinawa Soba. Noodle me this. And just a quick note to my listeners on YouTube, I will do my best to make sure that the visuals match the topic of the episode, but it's not going to be 100% 100% of the time, but keep watching because I'm going to show you Japan that I'm pretty sure you haven't seen before. And today, I'm taking you to Okinawa. It's just another beautiful sunny day in Naha, the capital of Okinawa Prefecture. Tourists are out and about, and you can easily tell who's not a local. T-shirts with famous Okinawa brand names across the chest immediately give us away. Us, meaning the tourists. Blue Seal ice cream. Spam. Though not technically Okinawan, it is a local staple. Orion beer. And here, hey, I'm guilty as charged, I own and proudly wear such t-shirts myself. It's noon and I duck into an all-purpose restaurant. The menu is long and varied, covering everything from stewed pork to purple potato salad and the beloved Okinawa noodle soup, Okinawa soba. I probably would have been better off at a different place, but everywhere else was packed and I was by myself and it was lunchtime and I was lucky to get a table here. And the place was cheap, which is something I never argue with. I ordered umibudo, sea grapes and purple potato salad, and goya champuru, stir-fried bitter melon with tofu and pieces of pork and egg. Heavy on the goya, the bitterness of the vegetable is balanced by the sweetness of the pork. I'm almost done with my lunch when a large group enters the restaurant. Family and friends, Americans by the sound of them. Loud and cheerful, large and stocky, their complexions red from the sun. They are led to a table next to mine. And in a typical American fashion, upon seeing my foreign face, they greet me like a long-lost friend. They asked how the food was, and I answer honestly, well, it's surprisingly decent for the price and a place. I wait for my dessert, pineapple with brown sugar ice cream, and the Americans order their food. Okinawa soba and beer all around. They go on to tell me they're new in Okinawa. The leader of the pack, or at least someone who seemed like a leader, and his wife, they just moved there. And the other couple and kids are visiting them in Japan, their first time. I'm enjoying my ice cream and scrolling through social media when the American table suddenly goes silent. Unusual. I look over and see them staring at their food. Steaming hot bowls of delicious Okinawa soba in rich broth topped with big, generous chunks of soki, stewed pork ribs. It looked delicious. I would have ordered it myself, but I had soki soba for breakfast, and I was planning to have it again for dinner. And three times a day would have been overkill, even for a fan of Okinawa soba like myself. The leader of the American pack looks over at me, points at his bowl of noodles, and says, "This is not soba. I was stationed in Yokota before, and I know what soba is supposed to look like, and this ain't it." Apologies for my American accent. Yokota is an American military base near Tokyo. And I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, do I tell them or not? The waitress comes over and it looks like an argument is about to take place. But she is ready. She is wielding a laminated card that explains in three languages, in English, in Chinese, and in Korean, along with helpful illustrations, that Okinawa soba is a type of ramen and not the same as Japanese soba, aka buckwheat noodles. Somehow the waitress immediately understood what happened. The Americans expected brown buckwheat noodles popular in mainland Japan, but got Okinawa soba instead. And since the restaurant felt the need to prepare cards with explanations, it means it wasn't the first time when something like this had happened, that a customer confused two very different types of noodles with the same name. The leader of the American pack got louder, I don't know, as if thinking that by increasing the volume of his voice, the waitress was going to magically understand his English. He wanted buckwheat soba, and being the expert of the group, previously stationed near Tokyo, now he ended up looking like the idiot of the group. His companions ignored his injured pride and began their battle with chopsticks. Trust me, they didn't look like people who say no to a plate of food. And their grunts and slurps confirmed what I already knew. Despite being a different kind of soba, it was delicious. This was not the first time I witnessed someone confuse the two types of soba. Well, actually, three types of soba if we add yakisoba to the list. So, let's talk about soba first. Soba soba, Nihon soba, buckwheat soba. When most people like the American in the story hear the word soba, this is what they imagine. Thin, brownish buckwheat noodles, eaten hot or cold, popular all over Japan. I'm allergic to this type of soba, and even a dusting of buckwheat flour is enough to send me to the ER with a severe allergic reaction. And I experienced just that earlier this year in May. So when I hear the word soba, I always make sure what kind of noodles we are talking about. Because soba can refer to ramen as well. Chinese soba, or chuka soba, is a different name for ramen. And that's why yakisoba, stir-fried noodles, that dish doesn't use buckwheat noodles, but ramen noodles, despite the name of soba. Yakisoba is a staple at all Japanese festivals. Booths or carts serving freshly stir-fried noodles are always present when there's a matsuri going on. And from my experience, most foreign tourists at Japanese festivals who happily chomp on yakisoba, they have no idea they are eating stir-fried ramen noodles and not the other kind of soba. Complicated? Maybe just a little. And then there's Okinawa soba. As the waitress with her laminated card explained, it's a type of ramen. Of course, I know ramen purists will have a conniption hearing that. And actually, one Polish ramen expert had exactly this reaction when I challenged his belief. His belief that Okinawa soba is not ramen, never has been ramen, and never will be. Oh, sweet summer child. If the Japan Fair Trade Commission had its way in 1978, we would be calling the noodles Okinawa ramen now. Why? Well, let's go back in time to find out. Until 1972, Okinawa was administered by the United States, and nobody in other parts of Japan really cared much about what people in Okinawa were doing or eating. And of course, people in Okinawa were eating Okinawa soba. That all changed when Okinawa was returned to Japan in 1972. Suddenly, people in mainland Japan discovered that down there in tropical Japan, the locals were eating delicious wheat noodles and calling them soba. And while average Japanese couldn't really care less, buckwheat noodle producers took notice. Because, you see, during the years that Okinawa was an American colony after World War II, the law in Japan specified that only noodles containing at least 30% buckwheat flour could be called soba. The majority of commercially available soba noodles contains between 40 to 80% of buckwheat, and the rest, that's normal wheat flour. And meanwhile, in Okinawa, the noodles the locals dared to call soba contained exactly 0% buckwheat flour. And that was against Japanese regulations. There are several buckwheat soba producers' associations in Japan, and as you can imagine, they were very vocal in expressing their displeasure. Particularly vocal were the producers from Nagano Prefecture. Why? Nagano is a top soba, meaning buckwheat soba, producing region in Japan. And for many, if not for most Japanese people, Nagano is synonymous with soba, buckwheat soba. And in 1976, the Buckwheat Noodle Associations started pressing the Japan Fair Trade Commission to sort out this issue, because there could be only one soba. After a lot of back and forth, it was becoming clear that Okinawa was not going to give in even an inch of a noodle. And changing the name of Okinawa soba to Okinawa ramen? Truly and utterly ridiculous, the islanders had said. Blasphemous even. Okinawa soba is soba. Always had been soba. Wheat soba. This was one fight that the Japan Fair Trade Commission realized they were not going to win. And, to be fair, they didn't really want to win. It's true, they could have pressed harder and enforced a name change. We would all be eating Okinawa ramen now, but the consequences would have been a lot more far-reaching. You see, the mid-70s was a very sensitive time when dealing with Okinawa. The prefecture just reverted back to the Japanese rule in 1972, and before that, people from the so-called mainland Japan, well, meaning the other major Japanese islands, they needed passports to visit Okinawa. It was, for all intents and purposes, a foreign country. And the islanders had very complicated feelings about both the Americans and the Japanese government. They had suffered under both rules for years. Though at least, as they said, under the Americans, they knew what to expect. But the treatment of Okinawa by the Japanese government was the source of many strong feelings. Unfortunately, none of them positive. And this was the very murky and blurry background to the soba battle. And a battle it was. It lasted 2 years. And finally, thanks to the efforts of Mr. Kenichi Tsuchigoe, chairman of the Okinawa Namamen Co-op, a group of noodle manufacturers in Okinawa, the Japan Fair Trade Commission saw the light. Or maybe it was a political decision that poisoning the relationship between the government in Tokyo and Okinawa over noodles just wasn't worth it. Whichever version of the story you choose to believe, the outcome was the same. On October 17th, 1978, the officials in Tokyo formally gave up and allowed for the exception that wheat noodles made in Okinawa Prefecture could be called Okinawa soba. And to celebrate this very momentous occasion, October 17th is known in Japan as Okinawa Soba Day. Buckwheat soba producers in Nagano and elsewhere, well, eventually they got over the defeat, and that's why today we are eating Okinawa soba instead of Okinawa ramen. So, you must be thinking, what kind of super noodles are these that they were about to cause a political crisis? They're delicious noodles. As you can imagine, I'm a huge fan of Okinawa soba. And by saying Okinawa soba, I mean all of the fantastic types of soba from all of the different islands in the prefecture. Not just the noodles from the main island of Okinawa, confusingly also known as Okinawa. Yep, you heard that right. Every island has its own noodles, its own type of broth, and own toppings. But before we get into that, first things first. How did wheat noodles end up in Okinawa when the rest of the country cultivated buckwheat? And here we have to travel even further back in time. As with most things in Japan, wheat noodles arrived in Okinawa from China. Nobody knows for sure when, but the guess is around 500 years ago. Back then, Okinawa was known as Ryukyu Kingdom, an island country that, for all intents and purposes, was a vassal state of China. The kingdom was moderately prosperous. It conquered the area from Yonaguni Island in the southwest, just about 100 kilometers from Taiwan, all the way up to the Amami Islands in the north. These days, Amami belongs to Kagoshima Prefecture. The kingdom was very friendly with the Ming Dynasty in China and had a monopoly on trade with China. Chinese emissaries traveled back and forth between China and Okinawa, and every time they arrived in Okinawa, they brought gifts from the Chinese emperors to the kings in Naha. And one of those times, the Chinese diplomats brought with them long, thick strands of wheat noodles. They were served to the royal family and considered a rare delicacy. Why? Because back in those days, wheat was an unknown commodity in Okinawa. It was not cultivated there, people didn't know what it was and how to grow it. And because of that lack of wheat flour, for the next several centuries, these noodles were limited to the ruling classes, the royalty, the rich, and they were served on special occasions. And that's how the story went all the way up until the Meiji era. The Meiji era is a time in the history of Japan that extended from 1868 until 1912, during the reign of Emperor Meiji, aka Emperor Mutsuhito. And it was during the Meiji era that Okinawa became officially part of the Japanese Empire as Okinawa Prefecture. So until that time, more or less, the wheat noodles in Okinawa were a dish that only really rich people could afford. However, towards the end of the Meiji era, during the first decade of the 20th century, things began to change. The first officially documented restaurant in Naha selling soba noodles existed in 1902. You see, Okinawa was a poor prefecture and people there had to really hustle to make ends meet and provide for their families. Also, because for centuries, Okinawa and China were really close, there was a sizable Chinese population in and around Naha. And when the Ryukyu Kingdom was a prosperous country, these Chinese immigrants led pretty good lives. All that changed when Okinawa became part of Japan. People of Chinese ancestry were suddenly facing difficult times. Many of them started opening restaurants in Naha, employing Chinese cooks and serving tasty, filling soup with noodles, wheat noodles, and calling it soba. However, the popularity of this soup of Chinese origin wasn't limited to Okinawa. The Meiji era was also the time when ramen arrived in Japan, from China, of course. And, according to the information from the Ramen Museum in Yokohama, early ramen in Japan was called Shina Soba. Yep, soba. Soba meaning noodles. And guess what? Early Okinawa soba was also called Shina Soba. And what those restaurants in Naha, in Okinawa, back in the early 20th century were serving was known as precisely that. Shina Soba. Chinese soba. Shina means China. However, with time, that word became somewhat of a racial slur. Well, not exactly a racial slur, but the connotation was definitely negative. And that's how we ended up with the names used today. Instead of Shina soba, we say Chuka soba, or simply ramen. Both of them mean exactly the same. And in Okinawa, we got Okinawa soba. So, now you can decide for yourself. Does Okinawa soba have ramen DNA? Or maybe the opposite is true? Either way, it's clear. Both dishes have a lot in common. Perhaps more in common than modern types of ramen have in common with each other. Just don't tell that to the Polish ramen experts. They have really strong feelings about it. Because they are experts and I'm just a podcaster. What do I know about the history of ramen? Right? Right. But let's get back to this story. I'm sure you must be thinking, where did the wheat for the noodles come from? And here the story is different for Okinawa and different for the rest of Japan. Different types of wheat noodles were known and consumed in mainland Japan for centuries. Actually, the first mention of udon, which is a wheat noodle. So anyway, the first mention of udon in Japanese texts comes from the Horyuji Temple records from 1347. Yep, the very same Horyuji in Nara, visited by millions of tourists every year. Okay, so that's mainland Japan, but what about Okinawa? Here, the story is different. Wheat in Okinawa became available after Okinawa became a Japanese prefecture. But what really made the biggest difference was the American occupation of the Ryukyu Islands after World War II. You see, the Americans brought with them cheap and filling food products, such as canned goods, including Spam, and, of course, they brought with them wheat flour. Lots and lots of wheat flour. And so it was under the American rule that Okinawa soba jumped into high gear. What also helped was the fact that in the 60s, noodle-making machines became popular and noodles could be manufactured commercially. And the rest is history. Okinawa soba became a dish that could be easily prepared and eaten at home. But that's not all, because in 1968 came the biggest change of all. That was the year when the Japanese tradition of eating soba, and here I mean buckwheat soba, so anyway, the Japanese tradition of eating buckwheat soba noodles on New Year's Eve was introduced in Okinawa, with one major twist. In Okinawa, buckwheat noodles were replaced with local Okinawa soba. This custom of eating buckwheat noodles on the last day of the year is known as Toshikoshi soba, and there are many explanations why it is done. One of them is that the noodles are long, and so they symbolize a long life and prosperous life and all of that. And the same was true in Okinawa. However, in Okinawa, Toshikoshi soba means eating long Okinawa soba noodles, not buckwheat noodles. These days, Okinawa soba is a tradition not only for the last day of the year, but for any day of the year. And historians argue that it's an invented tradition, but the people of Okinawa, well, they don't seem to care. They embraced it 100%. In 2018, the Prefectural Tourist Office, along with a local newspaper, conducted a survey among freshly arrived tourists in Naha. For domestic tourists from other parts of Japan, trying Okinawa soba was a must-do item on their itineraries. Their bucket list, basically. But 90% of foreign tourists had no idea what Okinawa soba was and what made it different from Nihon soba, meaning buckwheat noodles in mainland Japan. And now I think you can really understand the confusion of our military man from the start of the episode. And he's not the only one. A friend of mine in Poland, she kept complaining that her yakisoba never turned out quite right and never tasted like the fried noodles that she ate in Japan at summer festivals. She finally asked me for help. Well, I thought it was bizarre because yakisoba is one of the possibly easiest dishes ever to prepare. But a few minutes into our video call, I could see what the problem was. She was using buckwheat soba instead of ramen noodles. Her logic was, well, the dish is called yakisoba, not yaki ramen. Yes, the soba confusion strikes again. And while we're on the topic of confusion, let's take a look at all the different types of soba that can be found in Okinawa Prefecture. What, you thought there would be just one? Think again. How many different types of ramen are there in Japan? So why would you expect just one kind of noodle soup in the south? The story in Okinawa parallels ramen in mainland Japan nearly exactly. Every island has its own type of soba. Every town on the largest island in Okinawa has its own version of this dish. Trying them all is like trying to catch all the Pokemons. So let's take a look at the most well-known varieties. Sanmai Niku soba is synonymous with Okinawa soba. Sanmai Niku is sliced pork belly, literally meaning three-layered pork, three-layered meat. The layers in question are meat, fat, and skin. It's okay by me, though really, to be honest, not my favorite. I prefer soki soba, When tourists talk about Okinawa soba, they usually mean soki soba. Soki are pork ribs simmered to perfection. So soft, they literally melt in your mouth. How these ribs are prepared varies from island to island, or from family to family even. But the overall result is similar. Delicious chunks of meat on top of a bowl of chewy noodles. 10 out of 10 every time, if you ask me. Tebichi soba is also pretty good. Some foreign tourists may find the idea of stewed pork feet less than appetizing. Yep, that's exactly what tebichi is, an Okinawa delicacy of boiled pig's feet. I like it. It's good. And the further you go from the biggest island in Okinawa, the more local varieties of soba you can find. And not just toppings, the noodles themselves are different as well. In the north of the biggest Okinawan island, soba noodles are wide and flat with a slightly chewy texture. They look like fettuccine. In the southern part of the main island, in the Naha area, the noodles are not as wide as in the north, and their unique characteristic is their waviness, which works great with heavier broth. In the Yaeyama Islands, noodles tend to be round, not flat. The thickness varies from restaurant to restaurant. The broth is lighter in flavor than what you get in the Okinawa capital. The usual toppings are strips of pork, soki soba, island vegetables, kamaboko, well, and pretty much whatever else you want. Every family has its own secret recipe. But even then, every island in the Yaeyamas has its own soba style. Ishigaki, the main island, soba there is the most traditional. And if you visit Ishigaki and want to try Yaeyama soba at its finest, I can recommend Shima Soba, the oldest noodle restaurant on the island, and in my opinion, also the best. In Taketomi, the usual topping includes a hard-boiled egg, so again, very similar to ramen. In Yonaguni, you get shrimp on top of your soba. In Hateruma, they slap slices of goya and tofu in your bowl. In Miyako and neighboring islands, well, it's more of a crapshoot. The noodles can be anything, flat and wavy or firm and round, but what makes typical Miyako soba different is the fact that the toppings are usually hidden under the noodles, kind of upside down style. And actually, this is how we eat soba when we make it at home, Miyako style, but using Yaeyama noodles. On Kumejima, Kume Island, the broth is more spicy and sometimes has slight miso flavor. Again, I can detect some ramen similarities here. And on Daito Islands, over there they use an ancient technique of noodle making. Their noodles are made in a very unique process using ocean water and lye made from tree ash. But why is it different over there? Well, the Daito Islands' history is unique. The people who live there are not of Okinawan origin. They are the descendants of settlers, immigrants from Hachijojima Island, which is one of the Izu Islands near Tokyo. So even though the Daitos are part of Okinawa Prefecture now, geographically, their culture and history, they are quite different. But my love for Okinawa soba put yet another place on my noodle bucket list. And this one is far, far away from Okinawa. I'm talking here about Brazil. And more specifically, the city of Campo Grande in the Brazilian state of Mato Grosso do Sul. And please excuse my pronunciation, I really don't know any Portuguese. I had no idea where Mato Grosso do Sul was, so I looked it up, and it's down there on the border with Paraguay and Bolivia, far from the typical Brazilian tourist trail. So then, why is Campo Grande on my bucket list? Because it's the Brazilian capital of Okinawa soba. Say what, hey? Wait, what? Okinawa soba in Brazil? Yep, you heard that right. Back at the start of the 20th century, Japan was a poor country full of poor people who are desperate to seek a better life elsewhere. And many of these poor people were from Okinawa. Many of them sailed to South America and settled in Peru and in Brazil. And the city of Campo Grande is one of such places. I know it's hard to imagine there were days when Japan wasn't a technologically advanced otaku paradise, but Japanese immigration to South America is a historical fact. I'll do a separate episode about it because it's a really whole story in its own right and a story that is fascinating, and unfortunately not very many people in the West are familiar with it. Okay, but where were we? Oh yes, Campo Grande. As you can imagine, when people arrive in a new country, they bring with them their traditions, customs, beliefs, and dishes of the old country. And that was exactly the case with the emigrants from Okinawa who settled in Campo Grande. Along with dreams of a better future, they brought with them the love of Okinawa soba. Things got really serious when in 1965, a couple originally from Okinawa decided to open a market stall selling Okinawa soba. And it just took off from there. Now, these days, there are over 100 soba restaurants in the city of Campo Grande. But this was Brazil, not Okinawa. As you can imagine, certain ingredients weren't available and the dish was adapted to its new home and to the new taste of people who were not just Japanese, but Brazilians of Japanese descent. In Okinawa, the soup is pork-based, and the toppings are also pork in various forms. Brazil is famous for beef, and that was the case in Campo Grande. In Campo Grande, the soup is beef-based. And no surprise here, Brazil is famous for its beef. However, the dish is still called soba, and the restaurants specializing in soba are called sobarias. Sobarias? Sobarias? Something like that. And it's popular not only among the 10,000 or so people of Japanese ancestry, but it's a hit with all the residents of Campo Grande. Actually, in 2006, Okinawa soba officially became part of the city's culture heritage when it was registered as an intangible cultural property of Campo Grande. But that's not all. Because in October of 2017, Okinawa soba was chosen by the city's population as the representative dish of Campo Grande. So basically, we have a city in Brazil that decided that a dish of Japanese origin will be their national, local, traditional food. But that's still not all, because in the central market in Campo Grande, there stands a monument to Okinawa soba. So yes, the city is definitely on my noodle bucket list. If and when I finally get there, you can bet there will be a podcast about it too. So what do you think? Have you tried Okinawa soba before? Did you like it? My family loves it and we eat it, as I've mentioned before, Miyakojima style, upside down, with the toppings on the bottom and the noodles on top. In the show notes to this episode, I'm going to link my favorite noodle restaurant in Ishigaki. And guess what? They also have a branch in Naha. So give them a visit if you're in the area and let me know what you think. And no, this is not a sponsored episode. I simply love their soba. And that's all for today. Yay for episode 1. Thank you so much for listening. Please like, subscribe, and spread the word about this new amazing podcast. Your support is very much appreciated. And all the socials and contact information can be found in the show notes to this episode. See you next time. Janet.